And let's continue to give the Lord thanks. And we're talking about praise. Let's ascribe to him the glory that is due to his holy name. Indeed, there is none like him. Let's receive from him the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. In the name of Jesus Christ, let's declare the word of God. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Healing. Total healing. That's what I am receiving today. Say that. Yes. I'm receiving it today by the entrance of the word. Continue declaring. Say, I'm receiving it today by the entrance of the word. I am receiving it today. I'm receiving total healing. Say clarity. I'm clear. I'm clear. God is leading me. As the word is coming into my heart, it is setting me up on my feet. The word is setting me up on my feet and making me walk in obedience. Say, the word is entering me today. It is setting me on my feet, and I'm walking in obedience to the word of God. Yes, say, the word is working in you. It is healing you. It is making you able. There's no part of you that is feeble in the name of Jesus, because the Lord is taking you out of Egypt into that promised land. Say, no part of me is feeble. Begin to declare it. Say, no part of me is feeble. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, there's no part that is feeble. Concerning children of Israel, there was no feeble one amongst them. Say, no part of me is feeble. The word is coming into me. It's giving me ideas. It's downloading into me the instructions of the Almighty. It's calibrating my system. The word is coming. It's creating an operating system in me. Yes, making me function in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and to increase in the knowledge of God. Say, the word is rearranging me. I'm thinking his thoughts. I am thinking his thoughts. I'm having his feeling. The compassion of God is dwelling in me. Yes, the desires of God, they are coming into me. As the word is coming into me, say, what God loves, that's what I'm loving. That's what God loves, that's just what I'm loving. I'm beginning to hate what he hates. I'm beginning to hate what he hates. I count those things my enemies. What God hates, I hate. Because the word is entering me, pouring his spirit into me. Yes, say, declare to yourself, declare to the air, I'm not just here today because I just need to go to church or go for a Bible study. Just go, no, I am being transformed. I have come to be transformed. I have come to be changed. I have come to be transformed. I have come to be changed. Now say to the Lord, today will not be just any other day. Today I will know something entered into me. I open my heart totally. I open my heart totally. I open my heart totally. I open my heart. Say, Holy Spirit, possess me again today. Jesus, walk into me in a greater measure by the entrance of the word. Now give him praise again. Say, Lord, I praise you. The Lord will praise you. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we are prayed. Now greet somebody on your left and your right as you sit down. Here you are very wise. Welcome to the feasting of wisdom. Greet somebody and say, you are very wise. So you are a man of understanding, a woman of understanding, a person of insight. So insight is your portion. Yes. When you finish greeting, take your seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Please tap somebody on your left and your right. Say, the Lord is good, though.
The Lord is good.
Say, believe it.
Believe it.
Now say one more thing. Say, there is none good but God.
There is none good.
It's important. It's important. There is none good. Your father is not good, no matter what he has done for you. He paid your school fees, connected you, did everything. There is none good but God. Your wife is not good. That's what Jesus said. Is it me? He said, there is none good but God. Sometimes I brag. I say, I have the best wife in the world. But my wife is not good. Yes. She's here. She's listening to me. Maybe the best wife in the world, but you are not good. My wife thinks she has a wonderful husband. But that's her problem. Her husband is not good. The Bible says there is none good but God. Every goodness you see, it is God manifesting. You are getting the point there? Every goodness you see, it is who manifesting? God. He's the one manifesting. He's the one manifesting. There's nothing like, well, you know, for this man. There's nothing like that. There's none good but God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. That is why you can't love any human being because the person is good and forget to love the Lord. No, that's it. You have to love the Lord alone and then be adding other people to it. You love the Lord, then you love your wife on the side. You love the Lord, you love your husband on the side. You love the Lord, you love other, because there is none good but God. You know, human beings are very funny. Many people, that's the meaning of eye service. That's where eye service starts from. They think that it's a man that can help. So if a man looks important, they are very nice to him. If he looks unimportant, they talk to him very roughly. They don't know there is none good but God. I've heard of a situation in which a man who owned a bookshop in the market was the one that got a young man admission into University of Nigeria, Nsukka, many years ago. That boy did not think about it. I think it was Nsukka. He came, went to the market to buy something. So it is a man he had known for a long time. The man said, why are you looking sad? He said, I've been trying to gain admission. To where? University now. Why didn't you tell me all this while? Why should I tell you? You have a bookshop inside the market. Is it your type that gives admission? You know what happened? When the guy finished, he said, okay, come. See me so and so time. The boy came, climbed my bike. They rode the bike to the vice chancellor's house. And he told the vice chancellor, this is my friend, needs admission. Help him now. What he did not know was that man and the vice chancellor were in the school in primary school. Just because the VC, the man didn't become a professor. Doesn't mean he didn't. Did you get my point? He had childhood friends. He's a vice chancellor now, but he went to primary school with people. And this lowly bookshop owner in the market was one of them. That boy would, that is, of course he didn't think about it. God just wanted to help him one day. God just said, let me connect you. He did not know he knew the vice chancellor's childhood friend. You know, like I tell my wife all the time when we're talking, I say, listen, that's why God has given us his instructions. Just obey the instructions. It's not saying, hey, how do I know people that are important so I don't offend them? God said, don't do like that. Just do good to all. Especially those who are of the household of the faith. Just do good to all. Who do you show respect to? Everybody. Especially people who have age on their side. So if you are going on the road, you see one man wearing a car, carrying his nylon bag, walking like this. He looks to you like he's something like 65 and above. When you see him, put sign your greeting. Good afternoon, sir. Help him carry his bag, if necessary. Last time when I was coming from Sokoto, we were about to board. One man, his stuff fell, he was beside me. You know, in the corner of my eye, I just saw his age. I rushed, picked the things for him, collected his bag and collected until we got onto the flight. I returned it back to him. I didn't know him from anywhere. I don't want to know him. I don't care. But an elderly person is carrying load. Some of his purse now fell to the floor, his wallet. So things scattered. I helped him gather, I gave it back to him. So he had a bag. I just said, let me have it, sir. I know, don't worry. I said, no, sir, it's no trouble. I put it on my shoulder, held my own bag, and when we got to the plane, thank you, sir. And of course, he will tell you, oh, God bless you. That's the kind of God bless you need in your life. I don't know him. I was not looking for anything for him. I did that for him because he was an elderly person. If he was young, I give him my bag. You carried it too. The Lord is good. What am I going to say? There is none good but God. So we look for good from his hands alone. You don't know where he'll bring it from. Don't show anybody any unusual, you know, niceness because you think he can help you. The big man you are thinking should help you. Do you know how many people are on queue for him to help them? There are so many, they won't remember you. One day a man came to me, we were in church. We were praying for people. I was supposed to pray with him. I said, what is it? He said, people are always disappointing me. I felt like saying, welcome to Nigeria. Welcome to Africa. And welcome to the world. Now, so life be. Even God has prophesied it. Woe to him that trusts in flesh, that makes the arm of flesh his strength. And God didn't only say that word. He gave him a prophetic word. He will not see when good comes. So the man said, people disappoint you. He said, yes. I said, what do you do? You're about to hear this. He said, I help politicians. Can you believe that? I help. I said, is that a job? He said, and when they get into power, they forget me. I said, do you know why? They are good human beings. That's what they do. They forget people. They don't have enough space in their brain or in their lives to remember everybody. You know, when my mother-in-law was appointed a commissioner, I told her straight, many of you were there. So my wife's birthday, she came. I said, Mommy, we are not coming to you for anything. We don't want anything. We don't want anything at all. Of course, she's used to us. I said, forget this. This is your daughter and me. Forget us. Do your governance. We'll be praying for you that you will do well. But as for me to come and queue up and say, me too, they find contract. God will put me in prison. And it will be a special favor. You see, angels in heaven, they say, yes, Lord, they will bow down. Banking needs to cool down. All of you arranging for me. Say, who will go to Ramos Enugu and kidnap Banky and put him in EFCC jail? And one spirit will come and say, I will go. And the Lord will say, what do you want to do? Say, I will give him a contract he cannot execute. And then I will incite, whether they confirm him or not, I will incite, what's the name of your friend Abuja? Magu, Abi. To come and arrest him. And the Lord will look and say, this your plan is good. Go and prosper in that. The Lord, if you come one Saturday, say, where is pastor? Say, let's pray for pastor. Say, why? So that he will be released. They kidnap him. Say, no. Magu got him. Where is he now? He's in detention. In the name of Jesus. All the money he ate. Pastor, begin to vomit. Okay, we will now collect an anointing he has forgotten. How to raise money to build people out of. Whatever the Lord is laying on your heart, bring it right now. Pastor is in prison. The Lord is good. Oh, it has happened to many ministers I know before. At least I've heard of it. You know them personally. They pray for a governor. He wins election. They now think they are powerful. They start collecting contracts. God looks at you. All right. In this your contracting business, learn how to wash prison toilet. Just watch it. I remember the one I heard of was Archbishop in Dawosa that finally got him out of prison. Oh, yes. Oh, true story. And when you were in certain positions, know why God puts you there. If you're a preacher, just prophesy. When they say they are awarding contract, say, is it contract to preach? When they say yes, then collect that one And I say, okay, what are you going to do? They say, okay, Your Excellency, we shall be having prayer and intercession every Wednesday by 6 p.m. Your Excellency says, okay, say yes. Sir, you will compel them to come. Of course, if governor comes, who are you not to show? Once he declares at 6 p.m., everybody is praying for his administration. You know, if you don't go, you are praying against his administration. And you go there and begin to preach. That's your own contract. That's your contract. That is, it's not signed, though. It's not as if for preaching, this is your amount. No, I just mean that you have accepted to come and teach the word. If you pass like that, and listen, when you do that, go there, teach the word, and go away. Don't call the SSG. Say, yeah, I've been teaching for 1 week now. I know they see my envelope. And God will, that is, he will close the door by himself in your face, bang, break your nose in the process. Finish preaching the word and go. If they give you, say, okay, this is honorarium for coming. Thank them very well. Collect it and pocket it. Don't share it with anybody. Very important. So that they don't think it is sharing business. So when you are going, pass anything for us? Did you join me to preach? You smoke something? The Lord is good. Beyond preaching, they say they are holding contact, looking at them like this. Even if the governor says, be visiting me regularly, visit him regularly, see, that drink you are drinking there, and the chicken they give you, that is all. Once you are finished, say, Excellency, let us pray. After that, carry your bag, go home. Don't even, somebody say, please, they need favor from governor. Say, no. Don't help them. Don't say, no, I will talk to governor for you. No. The community come and say, there's crisis. We know you know the governor. Say, hey, I don't know him in that area. Go and call a lawyer. Write petition. Don't come and disgrace me. There was a time they almost finished this man at Billy Graham. Go and read the story of his book. Only God delivered him from the scandal. He didn't do more than talk too much. He didn't collect money. Just too much talk. He did not know they were recording everything going on in the White House. When the tapes were leaked, Brother Billy Graham was embarrassed to the core. Things he thought he was discussing, you know, with the president one-on-one, they were being taped. When the tapes came out, said Brother Billy Graham, a two Billy. it was a terrible embarrassment. But good enough, the Lord pulled him out of it. He learned his lesson. After that, if he comes to the government house, he prays and goes away. He will pray and preach. And the way the Lord did it, he met many people. He was one of the people that saw this man and he could testify. There are many people. I can't remember the names now. This guy that rebuilt Germany after the war, the Marshall Plan, you know that guy? Yes. He met him, preached the gospel to him. One day, this man sent for him personally, had a personal audience, the British one. Churchill, Winston Churchill. Graham never told anybody until much later in life. It's because the last thing Churchill told him that, you know, this is confidential. He said, I know. So nobody knew he met Churchill. It was a private meeting. They discussed eternal life matter. Not any other thing. After all of this, what's going to happen? If you, all of this, you will go to hell. Winston said, yeah. After I fought, yes. So what do I do? Bend your head. Let us pray for you. When they finished everything, the Graham sneaked out again. He said, remember, man of God, it's confidential. He said he knows. No, go and read this book, that fat book. The stories are in there. Never told anybody until years after Churchill was dead. And towards, it was in recent years he told the story. I have to know when God gives you a position in life, know why. And then know the boundaries. Everything has a boundary. If two people have a case, because you know the judge, you now go to his house and be talking. It's beyond the boundaries. Keep quiet. Let them go and discuss it in court. If you're not a witness, shut your mouth. And you get to the man's house, just keep quiet. Greet him normally. Discuss football. He's not writing judgment on the last match that was played. Discuss that one. But the community clash, because if you don't do that, you don't realize it. You think you're doing right, you're perverting justice. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So there is none good but God. Amen?
Amen.
Why did I get into all of that? I want us to know that just do what is right. There is none good but God. There is none good but God. That's a matter of fact. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's continue our teaching on the power of praise. Let's go back to what we have been reading, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We have been looking at the life of Jehoshaphat, a particular experience in his life, and how God delivered him. We are looking at how praise, what praise is. And we are going to do some discussing on some issues today. Now, let's go back there. We know the story that people came and reported to Jehoshaphat that people had gathered against him from three nations around. Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. Then in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And then he prayed. He pointed out that God is the God of their fathers, the God in the heavens, that is, the Most High above all else. He reminded the Lord that he is aware that he is the ruler or the governor over the kingdoms of the nations. That's in verse 6. Power and might are not in weapons. Jehoshaphat said, Power and might are in your hand. Somebody say after me, say, power and might are in the hand of the Lord. Say, no one can stand against him. Jehoshaphat was practical in his praise. There was a situation, and he analyzed the situation properly. God is the God in the heavens that is above all else. He was saying, the ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might, he said, are in his hand. And not in America, not in France, not in Russia, not in Great Britain. Power and might are in the hand of the Lord. Now, in verse 7, he now pointed out the situation. This is the land you gave us. We have lived here. And we have built a temple as a house of prayer. Now, he wasn't saying we built you a temple, reward us. He was saying this temple was built as a sign that we are your people. And it is our house of prayer. So, we have come to you in our distress. Jehoshaphat was saying, we know the story. I don't want to read everything again because I read it many times. In verse 12, he said, O God, will you not judge them, that is these three nations? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And everybody was standing. Then the prophetic word came in verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Then again, I want you to understand that this is the reality of life. The battle of your life is not your own, but it's who? It belongs to God. It belongs to God your Father. Declare, say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
all the battles of my life, they are not mine,
they are God's.
See, what we are doing, now please notice something. We are getting the perspective right. That's the thing. If you get the right perspective in life, things are easier. When I was teaching in Makurdi on Sunday, and what I discussed was spiritual authority. And when I was talking about that, I wasn't talking about be subject to your pastor. That's not what I mean. I mean the spiritual realm, there's rank. The highest above all is the Lord Jesus. Beneath him, everybody else queues up. Angels are beneath him. Demons are beneath him. Principalities are beneath him. Powers are beneath him. All evil spirits are beneath him. Everybody that has not believed, they are beneath him. What about those who have believed? They are inside him. So the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, in chapter 1, it told us that he is seated on the right hand of God the Father, far above principalities and powers. That is why you hear me say all the time, me and witch will not get fight. We are not mates. Just by getting the perspective right, you can't be afraid. Like they say literally, power pass what?
Power.
Power pass power. So when you get things in their proper perspective, there's a way you react to life. Like one of the things I want to say, I'm going to it today. In life, there are different aspects. Get the perspective right. They say, jog, 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 and you will live long. I say, it's nonsense. The only reason why I will jog is because I want to be able to jog. There are times you want to run. The other day, my son said he was going, they had a match in their school. So they are going to play against, is it teachers or people from another school? He's in SS3. So I said, tell your classmates, the most important thing about winning a football match is not skill, it's stamina. It's stamina. Stamina is 80%. Skill is 20%. If after you run 100 meters, you're panting. Even if your name is Messi, you have lost the game. I'm digressing now. When Muhammad Ali wanted to fight George Foreman, that's what he did. George Foreman could punch, literally, Foreman could punch a hole in the wall. Read his book. What's the name of that his book? It's available for free now. In fact, he released it free. So PDF flying around. So there was a time he carried a cow. Foreman was that strong. He Malu. He carried one. By mistake, they were supposed to hold it. They left it to do something. The guy found himself alone with cow on his neck. very strong guy. He could punch a hole in a wall. He used to punch everybody out. Then Muhammad Ali watched and said, how do we beat this guy? It's simple. Just outlast him for the first few rounds, that he doesn't have stamina. He has strength, he doesn't have stamina. So when the fight started, Ali just blocked his face. Punch. He soaked in so much of Foreman's punches, and next morning he was peeing blood. Foreman beat him silly, but he didn't fall down. After a few rounds, Foreman was tired. I watched the documentary on it, that Foreman was so tired, Ali gave him a blow. It was as if he really fell in the ring. The amount of sweat that flew off his head and face. Ali just lasted him for some time, and then he released his skill. He beat Foreman so bad, Foreman stopped. He didn't fall down, no. He stopped coming out. Next round, of course, he fell a few times, but next round, he said, I'm not fighting again. He was too tired. That's just digression. I don't know why I went into that. Today I stumbled on a video, on a tweet. Actually, somebody sent it, tagged my name, you know, the way it is. And I guess the fellow had listened to me preach. I clicked on it and went to Al Jazeera's page and saw an 85-year-old woman who jogs regularly. She runs, I think, like 10 kilometers every day in South Africa. Every day, 10 kilometers. And she runs half marathons regularly. And she doesn't understand what's surprising everybody, that she just likes to run. I like things like that. I like to be able to play with my grandchildren. When I'm in my 80s, I'll be playing football. I don't play football, it's table tennis I know how to play. I'll defeat all the teenagers. All you grandchildren, queuing up for slaughter on table tennis. That's what I like. That's the only thing that exercising does for you. It doesn't make you live long. There are those who run more than that 85-year-old woman. They're all dead today. They died at 40, 35, 42. Footballers dropping dead. Their coaches following them. Do you understand my point? And God, listen to me. God will continue to let that happen as long as we are collecting his glory and giving to soccer. Because his glory given to running around. I see them around Okpara Square. They don't chop all the food in the house. I'd be running up and down. And I say, where were you when you were eating this food? Jog, if you have to jog, it doesn't make you live long. Long life is a gift of God. He'll put it upon you. He say, do you want? You say, yes, take. How many years? Say, Lord, let me hold 10 first. After 10, we'll talk. Say, take. At the end of 10, you find that you are 75. The Lord comes again. You want more? There's some work we are doing. Bring 15. You add it to you. At the age of 90, the Lord says, you want more? What are we doing around here? Let me just preach for 2 more years. Give me 3. Collect 3. At the end of 93, say, Lord, I don't tire. You want to come home? Say, yes. All right. When do we leave? Between now and next week, anytime you say. Just be greeting everybody. They won't know why you are greeting everybody. Balancing your account. And one day you tell them in the house, they say, let's go and sleep. And I say, I have some work to do. You put your head down on the desk. They come in the morning, your head is still on the desk. Grandpa, you are still sleeping. I don't go. That is the will of God, amen?
Amen.
Yes, that's how it is. That's what long life is. It doesn't belong to any other person. It belongs to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that the Son has life. God has life in himself. He has given life to the Son, that the Son may give to whosoever he wishes. So we don't depend on running around to live long. We depend on kneeling down to live long. We kneel down asking for it. Sometimes we don't even need to ask. We are so busy with other things. Asking for some more important things. It's not saying you didn't ask about this, but I will give it to you. That's what he did to Solomon. So it's good to have things in perspective. Know who holds the power. That's what Jehoshaphat did here. Jehoshaphat explained, listen, the power does not belong to the Ammonites, does not belong to the people of Mount Seir, nor does it belong to the Moabites. The power belongs to you. Now let's go back there. So this prophet now opened his mouth and began to speak the word of the Lord. Verse 15. Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord, Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He said, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by this particular area. Verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. He said, do not fear or be dismayed. Very important. Tell your neighbor, do not fear.
Don't be dismayed.
Say, tomorrow,
go out.
Face your business. Yeah, that's it. Today somebody entered my office while I was doing some things. By the time you finished talking for like 2 minutes, I said, oh boy, don't you have work to do? Go back to your office. If you listen to that kind of person, like for 10 minutes every day, in 2 years, you will have heart failure. I'm very serious. It's not everybody you let it talk to your life. Words are very powerful. There are those that will talk to you, they melt your abilities. They melt it. Even if you are trying to be strong, words are so powerful, they are scraping things away from your life. The guy entered my office after a while, I said, oh boy, don't you have work to do? I said, oh boy, go back to your office. Yeah, leave here now. Now, get up and leave. He said, chief, what he's saying? I said, shh, I don't want to hear again. Just leave. Go back to your office. The one you have told me is enough. In a few minutes, he had told me how the presidential jet is parked in London, doing nothing. And that's the problem in this country. Nothing's going anywhere. Everybody's dead. There are foolish people ruling us. So I told, he said that they have, by now they paid £80 million to park the jet. First of all, in case you don't know, it's not true. The jet is there, yes. But there are some things that are given on diplomatic levels. You know, like, come on. And the first president explained, the guy is relaxed. And you are not allowed to leave the president without his car. That is his car. So what is he doing there? So what's wrong with you? He's sick. Is that news? By the time he was done, I said, oh boy, go back to your office. I saw you walking earlier. Eh? Go and continue what you were doing. In 2 minutes. It's not everybody you listen to. If you have a friend, every time you see that, tell you everything that's wrong in Anambra State and the next election and what cannot be corrected by Abuja, and just get up and leave. What you don't realize is that he's removing your ability to succeed in life. There are people that their words, they make you fear. Somebody today, I know, imams are everywhere. Sometimes I just look and shake my head and say, God, do. I'm telling Baba God, though, that you mean blessing these people. It's not when they talk about the patience of God. I was just talking about children and all of that. Somebody said, no, the world is more dangerous now than before. I said, in what area? Things are, I said, tell me something. In what area? He said, that the children are going to school, they can be kidnapped. I said, okay, fine. I said, how many have you heard in Enugu in the last 5 years? He said, maybe they are covering it up. I said, oh, they are covering it. So how come you know about it? So that my son cannot enter bus again. I said, listen, I can't live my life based on the fears of people like you. I said, take moto, enter bus. And if they kidnap you, tell them your house address. And when they are done with kidnapping, they should bring you back home. You will come back home. And I'm not going to pay anybody anything. The Lord is good. People just get up and be instilling fear into your life. Tell your neighbor again, say, which verse are we in? Verse 17. Say, do not fear.
Do not fear.
Do not be dismayed.
Do not be dismayed.
Don't worry about the economy.
Don't worry about the economy.
Say, tomorrow,
go out
and face your business.
And face your business.
Say, tomorrow,
go out
and face your business.
And face your business.
Say, tomorrow,
go out
and travel. Yes, don't be afraid of the road. He said, for the Lord is with you. Please continue praying to that fellow. Say, the Lord is with you.
The Lord is with
you. He's the source of your strength.
He's the source of your strength.
He's your security.
He's your security.
He's your defender.
He's your defender.
He's your helper.
He's your helper.
The man said, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. In verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Now, let's just go on to the other verse that we read. Okay, verse 20. Then they rose up early in the morning and went out. Then Jehoshaphat said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, that is, the words that they have spoken, and you will succeed or you will prosper." Many people don't put their trust in God. They don't have a prophetic word guiding them. You know what they have guiding them? Newspaper report. I've seen people make foolish decisions. There's one my wife was telling me about recently, and I shook my head. I felt like telling the fellow. But my wife, I told my wife, I said, "Listen, he doesn't know what you know. What do you expect him to do?" Somebody cannot act on your own knowledge. They act on their own knowledge. They are not going to act on my knowledge. It's what they are aware of. Just somebody get to walk away from blessing and walk into uncertainty. And you are doing that not because of a sure word of prophecy. Because if you had a sure word of prophecy, that is certainty. Say, you know, when you get to America, you can plan the future of your children. When you get to UK, you can plan the destiny of your descendants. When you get to Canada, you can consolidate the future of your seed. Please tap somebody beside you. One person, not two people. Tell that person you are tapping. That's foolishness. Turn to somebody else. Say, please don't follow that madness. You cannot live your life without a prophetic word guiding you. By faith, we understand. Know what that means? By faith, without faith, there is no understanding. Without faith, we are confused. Without faith, we are walking in darkness. Because it is faith that gives us understanding. If what you are doing is not based on faith, you're doing foolishly. I was telling somebody did this. I said, my son is finished secondary school now, that by God's mercy he will soon go into university. He said, he's not studying medicine. I said, no. He said, why not? I said, why should he? You are saying why not? I'm saying why? Yes, thank you. I was wondering for the opposite of not. The opposite of not, there's nothing there, okay? I said, why? The guy looked at me small. I knew where his mind was going. I said, listen, prosperity is a gift of God. But I've told my children, if they want to prosper, they should ask God for it. They should learn to do righteousness and justice and do their daily duties. They will prosper. After people say, okay, that is true, Sha. They're just telling you on your face. Oh. Inside, they say, this old guy, I don't know what is going on with him. I feel like telling them, go and queue all your children up to study medicine. He will employ all of them one by one and be signing their salary at the end of the month. When I make my statements, it's because of understanding. When I said that, I'm not a fatalist, though. Don't think I just get up in the morning, I don't care, back home. No, I'm not a back home person. My own back hominess is based upon, you should learn some new words I create, so you should get a dictionary. I mean, you're laughing. If you go to Chris Okote Church, you will learn words. I'm not giving you any concatenation right now, My own backwardness is based upon what the Lord has said. It's based on understanding. For me, what's important is that the Lord must not look at me when I say, Banky, but I told you. But you read in the scripture that. It scares me. Like I was saying the other day jokingly. It's a joke, okay, but you get what I'm trying to say. I said, at least let us pretend like we believe God. At least let us pretend. What I mean by pretend, it's not to anybody, but to yourself. Say, this is what the word says. Let's act on that word, please. Let's act on the word. Like I tweeted the other day. I said, I'd rather die believing God than succeed in doubt and unbelief. No. And then when I get to wherever I'm going after, when I get to heaven, I say, guys, I'm dead. Do you know why I died? Why? I was trusting the Lord. Amen. So some guys are not dead. Yes, I don't mind them. They are standing in doubt. And the Lord will say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. I like it like that. Without faith, you have no understanding. You know nothing. Whatever plans you have made that's not based upon the understanding of the word of God is pure foolishness. It's pure foolishness. Once you make a plan and you cannot say, it is because after we understood what God was saying, we just felt that, just know it's foolishness. What we have, which is a problem, this is Christianity that is thoroughly mixed with worldliness. We want Christianity in which we have learned principles by which we can manipulate the markets to make money. So we'll be Christian, but we must be ritual. We call it Christianity, but it's not. Christianity means that we'll pray to God and we'll do righteousness. If he gives us wealth, we thank him for it. If he says, you, your name is Paul, be jumping from one boat to the other, capsize a few times, preach that gospel everywhere, we'll say, Lord, thank you. We'll still receive it. Christianity is that I lay down my life by myself. That's Christianity. Many people, they love their lives and they now use Christianity to try and guard it. But they still love their lives. If you read my book, Grace to Prosper, I explain in there. You must love, in quote, you must love poverty as much as you love prosperity. That's Christianity. That's what it is. You take a vow of poverty, a vow of prosperity, both of them together. That's Christianity. I don't have time to explain it now. Faith must be the reason why you are doing what you are doing. One of our sisters asked me that she needed to make a massive investment in an unstable part of Nigeria. She said, what do I think? I said, it's called a digging. What's a digging? When soldiers get to a place, they first dig themselves in if they want to defend an area. If you ever saw this film, Lion of the Desert, I like those guys, was it Tunisia? Umar Mukhtar, which country is that one now? Algeria, yes, thank you. Algeria against the French. The guys, in fact, those the one that was secondary school, when they were watching the film, one of my classmates came in, he said, have they reached Fatih Adaya? I said, what's that? Fatih Adaya. So the boys were joking about it, called it Fatih Adaya. What is Fatih Adaya? Those guys, when they wanted to defend against the French or the Italians? Italians. Yes. First thing they did, they got there, they folded one leg and tied it. And said, I better fight here and die here. That was what my classmates called Fatih Adaya. Yeah, you know, with the intonation those guys spoke, they better fight here and die here. So those guys said, so the guy came and said, he was laughing. He said, have they reached Fatih Adaya? And when I said, okay, is that what you mean by Fatih Adaya? I fight here and die here. So they tied their legs before they took position. So that when the tanks arrived, they could not run. I told my sister, I said, it's called a digging. Dig yourself in so that when you are praying, you have passion for what you are praying for. You have invested millions, scores of millions. I said, good. Use that one as what I call a digging. What you are saying is that, devil, this land is my own. I'm not yielding it. Whatever God gives me, I have to possess it. You must understand, in spiritual things, you have to possess things. Many people are not willing to possess this country. They want to possess America. Yeah, they are praying, but they don't want to possess the country. Say, this country is unstable. There was a time people were saying that sell your land in Abuja. I felt sorry for them. You know, you are selling your own inheritance. They say, you know, if they divide this country now, Abuja will fall to the north. You know, there are times I wish I had money just to make people look foolish. Where's your land? Sell it to me. I will buy all of it at a fair market price to show you that you are very silly. That if indeed you wanted to hold that land, the least you could do is to hold the title deed and hold it and say to somebody, belongs to me. Go and read the Bible. When Jephthah was going to lead a war, he sent to the opponents. He said, when Chemosh or Chemosh, I don't know how they pronounce it, your God gives you something, he said, don't you possess it? He said, whatever God has given to us, that we will possess. What do you mean? If he gives us, we'll hold it. We'll not use our own hands to throw it away. I hear people talk sometimes. So I told sister that, I said, my sister, dig in. Dig in. If you are selling land in Maiduguri now, go and buy one. Map it out and say it's for church. Build a church made only of concrete. Dare anybody to burn it. It won't burn, it's concrete. And you say, this is my land, it's my own. You sold it to me, you've given me the right. I don't care what you were thinking when you sold it, but it's mine now. So when I want to pray, say, this guy wants to dispossess me of my land. I gave him money for it. That's how things are done. For ordinary plate of food, the Bible call it a mess of what? Porridge. Just a mess of porridge. A mess. Not a serious thing. A man bought his brother's birthright. He sold it. A sale is a sale. So before the throne of God, God had to defend Jacob on that birthright matter. Why? The owner sold it. I heard people talk that time and say, the way the country is going, if you have land in Abuja, go and sell it. Hey! That's foolishness. He said, what if you lose it? Let me explain something to you. That's how battles are. That's how wars are. That's how wars are. Spiritual war now. So what if you lose it? I told my sister that. I said, listen, it's a material thing. So you, at least, you must understand, you have to give account for everything. You're able to stand before the Lord and say, we fought. How did you fight? That land, the devil wanted to scatter it. I dug in, and then I began to pray. At the end, I lost 100 million naira. But before you, Lord, you know I did what was right. So well done, good and faithful servant. Remember the first shot, they run. Oh, God, look at this foolish soldier. Oh, the Lord is good. Praise means you get the proper perspective of things. So Jehoshaphat went and said, put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Make sure you are acting upon a prophetic word when you are making decisions in your life. That's what praise is. Verse 21, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now verse 22, that's where we're going. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, which they did not fight for, you know that, which the Lord fought for them, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. Challenges in life, they are not meant to destroy you. They are meant to be tackled properly. And then through them, God will elevate you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Were it not for this trouble, where would they have gotten goods that would take them 3 days to carry? They'll have had to labor for years. And a few days of, threats and all of that, and they prayed effectively. And it's that prayer we are looking at. In that prayer, what did they do? Jehoshaphat settled down and ascribed to God the glory due his name. Victory is of the Lord. That's what he was saying. That's another scripture. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. What do we trust in? We trust in the name of our God. Now listen, you must understand, prayer is not, you're not psyching yourself. It's literal deployment of spiritual power. What is praise? We'll be talking about it. Praise is not just when I lift my hands and begin to worship in church. That is good, but that's supposed to be what? An overflow. Praise is not when I get up and look for a song to sing and lift my hands in my house and let's start praying now. Oh, Father God, we worship you. It's good, but that's supposed to be what? An overflow. What is real praise? It is as a habit, we ascribing to God the glory that is due to his name. Now, what I want to share briefly today is this. What Satan does every day is that he takes the glory due to God and helps us put it on something else. And we'll be falling for his trick if we follow him. What am I going to say? I'm back to it. I know you will laugh when I start again. People carry their food. What is inside? It has 17 grams of cholesterol. Does it contain groundnut? Was the groundnut fresh when it was blended? Because if it's not fresh, there's what they call aspergillus flavus that grows in it and releases aflatoxin, which is not digestible by the intestinal enzymes and is not inactivated by stomach acid, which penetrates into the liver and gives liver cancer. So I don't eat groundnuts. What I've told you is what they say, and every word I've used is correct, medically speaking. There is aspergillus flavus, there's aflatoxin, there's liver cancer, and there's moldy groundnut. All of them together creates liver cancer, that is moldy groundnut flies ahead. And then so people now go around, they now do what they call calorie counting. Because they have found out. If you're a rat in the house, say amen. Any rat in the house? If you're a rat in the house, say praise the Lord. No rat here? Okay? If you're a human being, scientifically they call you Homo sapiens, and you know the spirit of Christ is in you, say amen.
Amen.
The experiment on calorie counting was done in rats. That's where I was going. It was done in what?
Rats.
They found that as rats that had restricted diet did better than rats didn't have restricted diet. That is very true. Except, I'm not a rat. Science is very funny. You get our saccharin. You know, it was banned in human food for a long time. Then they reintroduced it. Do you know why? They say it causes cancer here, here, including the bladder. Except that it doesn't cause in human beings, only in rats. So after many, many years of study, the license again for using human beings. If you are not a rat, say amen.
Amen.
I give you another scientific fact. Human beings who are listening to me. They say when you eat salt, you're going to die because of high blood pressure. You heard it before? Even me, I used to teach it. I'm teaching. No, not in Bible class, though. You know, when you are teaching pathology, you know, you have to join to tell them the whole lie so that they sort it out themselves when they go to church. A few weeks ago, it was finally published that it's not true. The paper that began it was released decades ago, and the man that did the study, one, used rats or hamsters, or those rodents kind of stuff. And the first thing he did was to create genetically deficient animals by doing what we call inbreeding. Through the process of inbreeding, he was able to alter the genes until they had rats that were unable to handle salt. Then he fed those ones too much salt and fed some normal salt and discovered that the ones that he fed too much salt became hypertensive. And he published it and the whole world swallowed that salt causes hypertension. Just a few weeks ago, they found out it was not true. After more than 30 years of believing a lie. And you know Christians follow it judiciously, sheepishly. When I asked them something, what did God say about your food? He said, receive it with what?
Thanksgiving.
One day I went for my convention. I wanted to, you know, I said, you know, if you've been with me to my local convention, you know, we eat like a community of Christians. Everybody queues up, you know, we eat the same from the same pot. So you see all in the hall, you know, sharing food and all of that. We sit in circles, stuff like that, you know. So somebody said, oh, no, you're just one cube of sugar, you know. I said, why? You know, sugar is not good for you. I took a cube, put it in my mouth, chewed it like, crunch, 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 crunch. I said, that is sugar. I just ate it. It's not going to do anything negative. Take my word for it. Look, didn't you learn elementary biology? I eat sugar, it digests, becomes glucose. Glucose is not poisonous. It's energy for my soul. Good enough, I was president, so I took the microphone. I said, brethren, let us bless our food and not curse our food. Everybody, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for this food. It is not poisonous. It is going to bless us. I said, brethren, enough of cursing your food. First thing, they give you food. So this food is the source of life. If I eat it wrongly, I will die. If I eat it rightly, I will live long. No matter what God wants to do to me, if I can just eat my food properly, he can't kill me. The power belongs to food. Food, thou art the most high when it comes to preserving life. The power belongs to food. They now started a blasphemy. You know what that blasphemy is? They took the name of God and attached to it a fad diet. They call it Hallelujah Diet. I hope many of you are not here doing Hallelujah Diet. Listen to me. It is the foolishness corrupting Hallelujah. There's no hallelujah diet in it. They don't eat food that is cooked before this particular time. Derek Prince said these are doctrines of demons. Demons. Demonic doctrines. Why am I talking about it? We took the glory that belonged to God and gave it to scientific fads. Yes. It's now I know why God said, thank you. Before you start preaching, go and study medicine. So I want you to talk. If it's Chris that's talking, they say he's talking because he's a lawyer. He doesn't know what he's saying. But when I talk, people will pause. At least they go draw back small. This guy cannot be accused of ignorance. But I'm not here to argue scientific facts. I'm talking to Christians. And I want Christians to know that the power for long life belongs to who? To God. Where do diseases come from? God said, I will not put these diseases on you, which I put on the Egyptians. If you don't want disease in your life, go and meet the Lord. Say, Lord, take this disease away from me, as it is written in your word, that you have nailed my own disease to the cross of Christ. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by stripes I have been healed. After that, what do you do with your food? I'll tell you, it's simple. You operate the normal principles of life. Eat one with thanksgiving. Don't be a glutton. God does not like gluttons. In Israel, he said they should stone gluttons. Those who live for pleasure. You don't live for pleasure. You eat moderately. He said, blessed is a country, the land, whose princes don't... They eat for what? For strength. Because the one that just eat anyhow, wine and drink in the morning, just eat for the sake of eating. Like the Romans used to do, eat, put a finger in your throat, vomit it so you can eat some more. Then God now kills somebody for gluttony. Once you're not a glutton, you eat in moderation, you eat with thanksgiving in your heart. You don't live for food. Believe me, every food will bless you. Don't take the glory that's due to him. That's what praise is. That's what I'm going on. That is what praise is. It's not just when we lift our hands. It's the attitude we have about everything. It's who we ascribe the glory to. Today I said to write a list down. My time is really gone because we spoke about many things. Because I really wanted us to just take a lot of confessions. Like I was saying, what Satan is doing every day is taking the glory that belongs to God and giving it and placing it somewhere else and trying to turn our head in that direction, see where the glory is. You know, recently, you know, Aisha Sassi, how many of you know Aisha Sassi? She tweeted that her mother was sick, and she thanked the Nigerian doctors and nurses that thanked the Nigerians who saved her mother's life. She rushed the mother in from Sierra Leone to Nigeria. She lives in the United States. So when I saw it, somebody did a screen capture of the tweet and sent to me, one of our brothers. So I sent to my classmates who are in the UK. I said, did you notice that? Somebody said, what is the disease? I said, it's a privacy matter. What? Like my wife said, disease that can make somebody leave one country to go to another is not diarrhea. It's not malaria. I said, look at it. Of course, people said, was I playing about it? I said, can you see? Somebody in America, her mother was sick, said, take her to Nigeria. And I found out they took her to Lagin Hospital's intensive care unit for about a week. When I saw, I said, human beings, if these Nigerians want to run to India, a woman in the United States said, take her to Nigeria. What am I talking about, actually? What we do sometimes, they take the glory that belongs to God and place it on a human being, on a country. And we're talking about praise. Now, don't forget, as they were singing and praising, that was when the Lord did what? Sent ambushes. And last time I explained, the praise is not when we lift our hands. The praise is when we are talking one to another. The praise is when we are talking one to another. You see, a woman is pregnant, ordinary pregnancy that we see every day. Say, no, I want to go and have my baby because, you know, in Nigerian doctors now, your baby will just die on you. God just said, give me my grace. Give me my grace. Put his grace in his pocket. Yeah, go. There are things which you, a Christian, must not say. If you want to have your baby in Tahiti, that's your problem. But when you are going to say, Lord, I just like the air of Tahiti. You know, I dreamt that when I bring Tahitian air, I will be worshiping some more. Hallelujah. God will give that one to you. If you mistakenly open your mouth and say, I found out that children born there are safer than the one born elsewhere. Because they're fine. When you are crossing the border, ask the God of Tahiti to take care of you. Because me, I'm not going to go with you. And may God not depart from you. You know why Jesus said, my father, why are you forsaking me? If Jesus can cry over something, don't be smart, you know. What do? We take the praise of God and give it to somebody else. As a Christian, what should you do? Every time you remind yourself the power belongs to God. That is when you are praising. Like I said the other day, people are so busy worshiping God for stars. Did you see Jehoshaphat talk about stars? Did Jehoshaphat talk about ocean? He knew God made the ocean, but he said, right now, let's settle land disputes. Let us settle warfare matter. You are the God in the heavens, so nobody can fight you. You are the ruler amongst the kingdoms of men. The nations are under your control. Yes. And you allotted our land to us. Did we take their own? No. You know what he was doing? He was petitioning God, the judge of the whole earth. Did we trespass? No. Is it not our own? Yes. Say, Lord, therefore, be the judge. Rule. That means this invasion is ultra virus. Am I correct? This invasion is without legal backing. Therefore, Lord, send heavenly law enforcement to repel them. That is how God sent a detachment of special forces and they killed everybody. What am I saying? Jehoshaphat petitioned the God of the universe who had the power in his hands. He wasn't doing what I call nonsense praises. Oh Lord, the God that controls the sun, made Pluto, Milky Way galaxy, the closest one, Andromeda, which is how many light years away? Oh Lord, I heard that universe is still expanding. It's expanding by the force of your spirit. Hallelujah. As for this battle, boys, please send to Syria. Let them see whether they can help us. Sell the gold in the temple. Give to the Syrian president. Maybe he can come. Meanwhile, okay, I heard they are Syrians too. They have a lot of soldiers. Please give them many of our women so that they will come and help us. I heard they like Jewish women. Hey, then you'll be negotiating. Then say, let's worship God. God, though. I heard the universe is expanding. How many more stars are you making? Be busy making the stars while we settle our quarrel here. Which is what we do. We come to church, we worship the Lord for everything, but we cannot discuss our job problems with Him with faith. Like I said, I wanted to take them one by one. In the area of healing, let's just talk about it. You know what God said? I am the Lord that healed thee. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell the person, it is the Lord. That's your healer. Say, the Lord is your healer. Your diet is not your healer. Exercise is not your healer. American doctor, American healthcare system is not your healer. Say, God, your father. Say, Jesus, your Lord. That's your healer. Say, Himself took your infirmities and your diseases, and by His stripes, the healer has healed you. God declared, I am the Lord that healed thee. Let's bow down heads and just worship Him for a minute. You can put your hands up if you want to. Say, Lord, you are my healer. The doctor is not my healer. Nobody is my healer. You can use anybody, that's not my issue. But Lord, you are my healer. My eyes are on you alone. My eyes are not on anybody else. Say, Lord, you are my healer. You are my keeper. You are my healer. You are my keeper. Say, Lord, you are my healer. You are my keeper. Now I declare the word of God. Say, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me and is giving life to my mortal body. Say, I don't care what the genes say. The spirit of Christ is in me and giving life to my mortal body. The spirit of Christ is in me and giving life to my mortal body. The spirit of Christ is in me, healing me from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet. Declare the praise of God. That's what you are doing. You are saying, Lord, I'm ascribing to you the glory that is due your name. I'm ascribing the glory to you. Nobody else controls my life. It's not the genes that control my life. The Spirit of Christ. Jesus said the Father has life in himself and he has given life to the Son that the Son may give to whosoever he wishes. Say, I am in Christ. Therefore, healing is my portion. Declare it. That is how we praise God. We're just saying, Lord, the power is with you. The power is not anywhere else. The power is not anywhere else. Say, Lord, the power is with you. The power is not anywhere else. Declare, say, Lord, the power is with you. The power is with you. Declare it again. Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of Christ is in me. Say, the Spirit of life that came out of the Father. Say, that Spirit is the source of my life. Say, that Spirit is the source of my life. Say, it's working in me right now, giving life to my mortal body. Now declare, say, I'm healed totally from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Let's look up. All we have done is just to give God, that's what they call praise. Praise is not just to sing. Like I said, those things are what? The overflow. It's out of, you know, when something out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If that thing is coming out, not being full in the heart, it's ineffective. How do you know what's inside your heart? The Bible says those that feared the Lord, they did what? They spoke often one to another. And the Lord heard. And the Lord heard. It is when you sit at home, your wife and you are speaking. What do we do? Say, let us pray. The Lord will give us wisdom. That is when you, that is, see, that simple statement is praise. I said, one day I got home. I asked my son, how was your exam? He said, there was a problem in our school. He talked about this happened, this happened, this happened. I just said, don't worry about it. The Lord will show you favor. I didn't think anything of it. I just said, don't worry about it. The Lord will show you favor. I said it and entered the room. And my wife pointed out, did you notice what you just said? She said, I like the way you responded to that. What was it? Oh. And I meant, I wasn't trying to calm him down. I literally meant it. That is when you are praising God. That is when you are praising God. So it's when we are speaking spontaneously. Just stuff coming out of our hearts. Just talking normally. That is when praise is. And what is praise? Please, we are just doing what? Ascribing to God the glory that is due to his name. And don't forget what I said last time. We just read it just now again. It's when we are doing that, the Lord starts doing what? Sending ambushes against our problems. You know why we have problems a lot of times? We pray apparently correctly, but we don't praise correctly. When I say that, what I mean is this. I don't mean that we don't identify the songs, though. But most of the praise we do is what I call healing. You know, I talked about last time. What is healing? That's Nigerian slang now for you are pumping somebody so his head can swell. Oh God, we know you can do it. In the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. You are a great God. Hallelujah. Like I say all the time, the God of the universe that made many galaxies. Galaxy, galaxy, galaxy. Hallelujah. We do that, we do that, we do that. And we think we are praised. But actually, we do not praise appropriately. For example, I was thinking about it today. The Israelites, when they had a problem, you know what they said? Let's go back to Egypt. They gave the glory of God to where? Egypt. There's no water in the wilderness. What do? We go back to Egypt. There's no food in the wilderness. What do? We go back to Egypt. No matter the prayer they pray, isn't that the praise they praise, isn't effective because when the problems came up, they decided that where's the solution? Egypt. You know, many people are asking God to help them get to Egypt. Many prayer points of believers is, Lord, help me get to Egypt. My help is in Egypt. My wife went to the church. She reported to me later that half of the testimonies was, I got a visa. Celebration. People were sowing seed for what? Visa. I saw a poster the other day. It's a very special program. Release my visa. Yes, no, this is big billboard. Massive billboard. Release my visa. Thank you, sir. To where? And look, and why are we doing all of that? Listen, we just made up our minds that the solution to my thirst is in Egypt. So we pray until God takes us to Egypt. Listen, I don't know, of course, visa can go to any country. But the point is this, what is it for? Like I see all the time, missionaries left Europe, they left America and came to Africa. Amen? Amen. They did and it was good. And Nigerians should also, listen, in life, make sure that anytime you are moving is by commandment or you are on a mission. Oh yes, it must never be for food. It must never be for food. It must never be for food. You must never get up and say, I have found out that, look, since Kingsley left us in Enugu and went to Port Harcourt, his life has not been the same again. He moved to Lagos. Ah, this guy was preaching in Enugu. What did he have? He had one old model Toyota Camry that when you enter it, you'll be hearing... So the moment he relocated and went to Abuja, next time he showed up, he had the new model Volvo XC70. Say, Pastor Banky, there's nothing you're doing here. Your ministry is not appreciated. What is not appreciated? Your Kia Optima is 8 years old. If you arrive in Abuja today, within a week, I asked a man once, I said, why are you moving to Lagos? He said, Lagos is where you find people who will support you. I didn't know how to tell him. If it's now, I'm bolder now. Yeah. You know, one of the things that gives you boldness is age. As you're getting older, you are getting more senior to more people. You are getting more senior. You know, I just discovered recently, I'm older than most policemen manning checkpoints. When I came to Enugu, most of them were older than me. But now, when they tell me, good day, sir, this size is appropriate, I'm older than him. The Lord is good. I said, man, why are you? He said, this is where you will find people who will support you. And listen, as I get your perspective right, yeah. Give your praise to who it is due. Whose support do you need? David said, I have you, God, in heaven. For that reason, on this earth, I don't desire the support of anybody. So I will never go anywhere looking for anybody to support me. Are you getting my point here? I will never go anywhere looking for where people who support people are gathered. When I started ministry in Enugu here, everybody, of course, Lagos is where the action is. Lagos. My own is that, you know, may God make you not know some things. What do I mean? I didn't understand those details. I just needed, in fact, for me, Enugu was the best place to preach. Do you know why? The traffic was smaller. I won't get stuck in traffic. I'll get to where I'm supposed to preach more. That's easier. And as far as I was concerned, all I needed was where I could write and where I could record what I'm saying. As for the rest, I wasn't looking for anybody's help. Look, the only help I needed, God gave it to us, the human help. And what's that human help? He said, Adam, it is not good that you're alone. It was his idea because I told the Lord at the time that he can leave me single. I don't mind. And the reason why I prayed that prayer is that I told the Lord that that time poverty was strong. Are you getting my point? Why are you laughing? It's true now. So I just told the Lord that. And I told him simply, really, I was in Lagos. I said, Lord, really, I don't mind. If this is what it takes to serve you, I'm serious about it. I told you, if that's what it takes to serve you and manifest destiny, it's okay with me. I can trek anywhere. I told him that in prayer, that it's okay. I said, the only thing I want to ask you for is that if it's like that, please give me that grace to remain single. I said, because when you're alone, suffering is easier. When you are being cast into the ocean, you have to be a single man. When you go for 49 lashes, your wife must not be there weeping over you. When you've been in fastings day and night, I said, wait, Lord, I will take it alone. So once he gave me a wife, I knew that that was not my portion. It's true. The Lord is good. So the help, no, I said, it is not good for Banky to be alone. So I will make Ufoma for him. And he did. He said, one day I was standing, told my wife, go and greet that guy, he will marry you. So my wife came and said, hello, sir, how are you doing? I want to ask you a question. So I looked like this. You want to ask me a question? Yeah, sit down. Let us ask questions. Not sit down immediately. Now, later on, initially I said, I'm tired. I can't answer a question. I looked the girl again. I said, ask me any question. I said, we will see later to finish this question, you know. And I run, go meet my friend Chooks. I said, Chooks, come. Now the babe don't disappear. I set the hall up and down. Finally, I saw where she was hiding. She was praying. Her head was down. I said, Chooks. You know the way guys just walk up and I see nothing they have on. And my friend Chooks just did like this. He did his hand like this. I said, the Lord is good. No, that's all the help I needed. That's the human help I needed. I asked my wife, I preached to her until she was tired of hearing preaching. From the time I met her to the time we married, and they say a year after, my wife had heard more preaching than she had her whole life before. No, I'm not kidding. From me alone. Yeah, from me alone. No, think about it. When you don't have congregation, there was no other congregation now. If I get revelation in the morning, and she's coming back from work, she's hearing it. So, do you know, I just discovered, this is serious, this is hot. From Psalm 1, when David was speaking, poor girl goes down like this. She go hear gospel, even if she's tired. You must hear her more. One day she told me, this was about 2 years ago, she said, you don't teach me much anymore. I said, I have congregation now. You are no longer. The Lord is good. So that's the help I needed. Believe me, that was the help I needed. And the Lord has sent it. So, and together, really, I remember when we first came up here, they were partitioning the place and all of that. She and I prayed. I said, from here, this gospel will reach the ends of the earth. And then we began, where two or three gathered in his name. First, just my wife and I. Then Brown came, brought Onyeka. Onyeka brought Kingsley. That's how we're growing. Some people say, you go somewhere to go and look for help. Believe me, it didn't cross my mind. When we began, how were we recording? This hall was, this pillar was where the hall ended. Yes, this pillar. This corner here, then we just sit like five or six of us. Then in this corner, we put the tape, which my microphone is connected to. I stand and face them like this. And those I'm facing are like six or seven. And we have to finish before six. You know why? There's no light. There's no fan. Just press the recording, and then we'll start. I will start recording. If I want to say something I don't want anybody to hear, I say, did you press pause that? Death. He will press pause. And it was my car battery we used to power it. Oh, it was a Sony small recorder like this that uses 8 batteries. So that comes to 12 volts. So when we park, we remove the battery of my car, come upstairs. There was no railing on that staircase, so you walk along the wall. So you don't drop. If you ever listen to Man on Assignment, that's how it was preached. If you ever listen to Understand the New Covenant, that's how it was preached. Find the will of God, that's how we preached it here. God's champions, all those things. I didn't feel like I needed anybody's help. But believe me, God has sent help by himself from every corner of the world. The other day, one of our sisters said, maybe we should open Kingdom World Ministries account in London. I said, why? She said, because she has people always trying to say, how do they give money to Kingdom World? I said, collect it for us and then send it. So one guy said, I wanted to write a standing order in his bank. I said, well, I never reached. I said, my faith has not carried opening an account in London yet. I will not live here. I couldn't understand why somebody would say, listen to me. Hey, my time is going. What is praise? Praise is that I realize. And when I'm discussing with you, we know that it is God that's going to help us. That's what we call praise. We say it is God. It is not location. Another thing that someone is going to say, I talked about healing briefly. Promotion does not come from the east. It doesn't come from the west. It does not come from the south. God is judge. He's the one that brings out one person and lifts up another person. Now let's give him praise after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
My promotion does not come from my environment. Now east or west will not refer to your environment. Are you in Nigeria? Are you in Kenya? Are you in Ghana? Are you in South Africa? somewhere in Europe or United States, in Australia, that's what East and West means. All right? That's what that means. So say again, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This is the truth of life.
This is the truth of life.
My promotion does not come from my environment.
My promotion does not come from my environment.
Now, promotion also, listen to this before you repeat it, doesn't come from where you are coming from. What do I mean? What's your educational background? What's your family background? What tribe do you belong to? Who are you connected with? Background is what South means. Which school did you attend? A man can go to Harvard and not have the opportunities God will give you that finish in one tiny, one school that nobody else wants. In fact, you didn't even go to university. That's what South means. Say it again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Promotion doesn't come from my background. Say it. Promotion does not come from my background.
It comes from God.
Say it comes from God alone. Say God is my judge. Say it again. God is my judge. Say
God is my judge.
He is the one that is lifting me up. Declare. Say God is my judge.
Is the one that is lifting me up.
Say it again. God is my judge. I ascribe the glory to his holy name. I ascribe the glory to his name. He is the one that is lifting me up. Now say this. My background does not confer any advantage on me. Nor does it confer any disadvantage. Say, I am not disadvantaged in any way. I am not disadvantaged in any way. Because God is my judge. Say it again. God is lifting me up. The environment cannot bring me down. Say it again. God is lifting me up. Let's do this way. Say, God is my lifter. Yeah, we are ascribing the glory to him. Say, he is the lifter of my head.
He is my promoter.
Say, God is my lifter.
Raise
your hand and just worship him. Say, Lord, call him that name. Just call him that name. Lord, you are the lifter. You are the lifter. You are the lifter. My connection is not the lifter. The people I know, they are not the lifter. My passport is not the lifter. Remember, it is when you are giving him praise that he sends solutions to the problems. It is when we are giving him praise. It is when we are giving him praise. David said, only you, Lord, I have in heaven. For that reason, on this earth, I have desired no one else. Because, Lord, you are my lifter. Lord, you are my lifter. Say, Lord, you are my lifter. Say, Lord, you are my lifter. Call him that name. Call him the name. Let's not give his name to any other thing. Say, Lord, you are my lifter. It is not who I know. It is not where I was born. Lord, you are my lifter. It's not the background. It's not the background. It's not my certificate. It's not my certificates are only good for looking for jobs. Come on, they don't even create jobs. And they don't even guarantee it. Say, God, you are my lifter. God, you are my lifter. Say, Lord, we ascribe to you your glory. The glory is yours. For lifting us up, Lord, the glory is yours. Lord, the lifting up of our lives, for our promotion, the glory is yours. We call you the lifter. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, a few years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we're talking about, you know, he was explaining something about how you plan. He said, listen, people have to understand that this man was wise. He took money and he sent his sons abroad for masters. And look at it, that they are going to come back strategically positioned. Do you know what I found out? Another friend now told me this year, that one of their colleagues sent the children abroad for masters. They came back home, they can't get a job. Yes, they can't get a job. I can tell you, look, anything you want to do, make sure you're on a mission. Have a mission mentality. You want to go and study, make sure that it is, you need to, you know, we keep learning. We have to learn. Oh, this thing I want to learn, there's nobody to teach me this right now around here. See, I have researched. I found out that I can find those who teach it in Singapore. So I'm going to Singapore. That's a mission mind. There are those who return. They don't even tender the certificate anywhere. They just wanted to acquire the knowledge so they can know stuff. That's a mission mindset. So we're not saying that people can't go. No, you go to places. I went for a course a few years ago. That was in the United States. Went to learn cytopathology. And affected my practice. I was MD Anderson for a few weeks. Learning is good. But to not think that this is strategic positioning to get a good job. There was a time that in Nigeria, to find somebody that has a master's from Cambridge or Liverpool was once in, you know, you come to Enugu, you find one, then go travel, get to Oka, Enugu, see any, go to Onitsha. They are trading. They don't have. You get down to Asaba, find the second one. Then you go. But now, in Lagos, oh, Lagosians, if you say, please, if you don't have a master's from UK and US, don't apply. You will get 1,000 applications. Because everybody said it is a passport. Why? Because they want to follow the Egyptian, the Israelites that God opened the door for. So all of them rushed into it. And what happened? The water buried them. There are those who sold their father's land to pay tuition abroad. The father is asking for a refund now. And nothing. Listen, your certificate is not your lifter. God is your lifter. Let me prophesy to somebody so I can close. God will lift you up.
Amen.
You know why? Because now you recognize who your lifter is. And anytime we give him the praise due to his name, he sends what? Ambushes against the problems. God is your lifter.
Amen.
He will lift you up.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I feel like telling somebody this. You are going to get a job. Somebody, I don't know who you are. And you will start working. Maybe you're working for somebody. And they will tell the last two people that tried to get this job who did not get it had foreign certificates. Amen. And you won't have any.
Amen.
Somebody will have that testimony.
Amen.
But you just tell you, say, ah, how did you get this? See, there was one guy who was here. He came highly recommended. He had this master's degree and this one for so and so and so place. They did not employ him. But you know what God is just doing? He's just making a point to you. There are times if you give me the job, you work there for 1 year, so you resign, go. But that time, you are so strong in your heart, you know, say, no, this is not, it's not. You know, he did that to Peter. He gave him plenty fish. He said, oh, my Lord. He said, now, you will no longer catch fish. It is not as if now I've shown you how to make plenty money. He said, no, I've proven to you that you don't need, it's not these things that will make you succeed. God is a lifter.
Amen.
Let me summarize so we can close. Listen to me. What I was trying to say, it is when we talk to one another, when we are making our plans. It's when we are making our plans. It's when we are making our plans that we'll say to somebody, like one of our brothers the other day, he was talking with me and I was blessed by his reply. You know, somebody I know very well. Say, listen to some of our messages. Listen, the scholarship has been given to him, full tuition. Say, listen to the message and just said, his spirit just said, this is not your path. So he turned down. Do you get my point? Turned it down. Said, no, God is taking me somewhere great. And that is not the path. I don't know what I get what I'm going to say. If a scholar, tuition paid 100% to study in Europe. He said, listen to some messages and said, no, that is not the path God is taking me through. So I told the people, thank you very much. You can keep it. Somebody said, God is my lifter.
God is my lifter.
Listen, God needs to prove, listen. God needs people he will prove himself through. He wants to show somebody. Look, my wife was telling me the other day about one woman who came to town to do a program. And the bragging thing was that this woman had been to many places. By the time she started moving around, she didn't have a university degree. What was she selling? Moi moi. With moi moi, she has been to White House. With moi moi, she has given lectures to important people. Selling moi moi. My wife said the woman's story is such a beautiful story. The day they wanted, white men were coming to her house. She didn't have, there was no light, there was no generator. She said, God, what will I do? They were approaching. The husband told her, relax. He said, as soon as the first white man put the foot inside her sitting room, Nepa returned. At that time, she did not have a university degree. So that person would do something. She was making what? Moi, moi. I'm going to tell you something. You are not disadvantaged. What you don't have is not enough. Listen, if you want to succeed in life, if God puts your mind on something, just kneel down and ask Him for it. If He needs you to go and get that degree from Australia, the door will open like this. You will find yourself in Australia. You wonder, when did I get here? If He closes the door, and there are many ways He closes the door. One, you don't have the money. That's a closed door. Even Paul would say, wanted to come and see you. We were hindered. I said, did He tell you why? He will ask Timothy, go and buy the ticket. He said, I got a rich autostar. Autostar said, 10,000 per person. He said, what is there? He said, bros. No, he said, apostle, last time the offering was not good. These Philippians, they have not sent something in the while. You know, Thessalonians, they know they give anything. How much do you have there? So now 2.5. Okay, go down to post office. Buy paper. Buy pen. Write. Paul, an apostle, sent by God, but no money right now. But because God closed the door, you and I are reading the letters today. You know, if God had opened the door, He wouldn't have written the letter to the Romans. If God had opened some doors, the man would not have written some letters. Now, because God closed some doors, we are reading letters today. Pastor Paul Adeolu Adefarasin started house on the rock because of visa rejection. Denial, so I wanted to say. A man who studied in the U.S., he has a degree in architecture from the University of Miami. He had the background. His father was Attorney General of Lagos State those days. He's been all over the world. He was living in London, pastoring under this Ghanaian prophet. Then he came home for something. Let me get back to London. I don't know why they refused to grant him a visa renewal. There was a time they were tightening things around a bit. And then around the time European Union was getting stronger, you know, my cousin even fell into that thing that time. He had gone abroad so many times. Next time he said, let me go. They refused to renew the visa. The guy did everything. He even shouted for them at the British High Commission. That what kind of nonsense is this? I'm trying to go to your country to be a blessing. They still did not give him. Out of that, he went to his mother's sitting room. And he started praying. From that mother's sitting room, people were gathering. From there, they left, went to a Latin Jew house in Maryland. In Lagos. From there, Muzon Center. From there, Millennium Temple. How did House on the Rock start? A pastor wanted to go back to his base in UK, and the Lord closed the door. It's not a man who... He went to school in the US. His degree in architecture is from the University of Miami. Yeah, he wanted to travel back. The people said, no, you ain't going anywhere. And you should know when God is closing your door. God slammed the door shut in his face. And that's the reason why 20-something years later, House on the Rock is a name known. London has a branch. I don't think they have less than 20 branches in it. What is 20? More than 20 branches. Maybe you get over 30 by now. I mean, Kaduna, they have in Jos, you have in Abuja, Port Harcourt, Umuahia here, you know. Aba, Enugu, Benin. I mean, all over the place. Because somebody denied. Do you get my point? Give him prison. He said, Lord, only you can shut my door. Just say, Lord, only you can shut the door. Only if it's, you are the only one. You are the only one. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else. Say, Lord, only you. You are my doorkeeper. Give him his name again. You are my doorkeeper. You shut the door that's not mine. You open my own. You shut the door. Say, Lord, go ahead, shut that door if it's not my own. Lord, open my own door. In the name of Jesus, shut that door. Shut that door if it's not my own. I will not badge against a door that's not my own. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you the power again in my life. You are my doorkeeper. You are my doorkeeper. Promotion comes from you. It doesn't come from any other person. Promotion comes from you. Say, Lord, promotion comes from you. Just worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Say, Lord, promotion comes from you. It doesn't come from anybody else. Promotion comes from you. Promotion comes from you. You are my doorkeeper. One more thing. Now listen to this. Any door that's your own. President Buhari with Donald Trump and Theresa May, Angela Merkel. What's the name of the man in South Africa again? Jacob Zuma. Even if all agree and even bring the North Koreans on board. If God says he's opening a door for you, they can't shut it. You know why? It's not their door. They are not the doorkeeper of your life. And you did not, listen, you did not donate it to them. You have called God your doorkeeper. The problem with a lot of us is that we call somebody else our doorkeeper. So we, by ourselves, give them power over our doors. When it's time for God to open certain doors for you, nobody will be able to close it.
Amen.
Sometimes God will let you see them try. Yeah, sometimes he will let you see them try. They will try. The door will still be open. Sometimes you walk into it, some of those doors, reluctantly. You don't even want to walk. They say, please now, come now. You say, I'm not in a hurry. God will have to tell an angel to drag you by the hand and push you through the door. In your season, your door will open. Let's rise to our feet. For a long time, I've learned that thing. I want something. I don't get it. I know it's not mine. People say, by faith, you will collect it. Look, by faith, you inherit the promises written in the scripture. It's what the word has spoken. That's what you hold by faith. You don't say, this door, I speak to you, open for me. Go to the door. Speak the word of God. If it opens, it's your door. If it doesn't, it's not yours. You look at, this is how Christians operate. You go to a door, you look at the door. Is this door mine or is it not mine? All right, this is how I know. I face the door and knock on it with the word of God. What is the word of God is not, this door, open. Okay, let me ask you a question now. Those of you who are single, Chris, where are you? Is it right for you to see a woman you like and stand in front of me praying and say, in the name of Jesus, Angela, you are going to marry me? Is it right? No, answer me. It's not right. So why do you think you can do that to a door? But you can stand, spiritually speaking, in front of Angela and say, it is not good for Chris to be alone. And the Lord will make him a help that is suited for him. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, you go to the front of a door. Say, not from the east, not the west, or from the south. Constant exhortation. But God is judge. He brings that one and lifts up another. He lifts me up. In the name of Jesus, he will open an effectual door for me, and no adversary will be able to stop it. You say that in front of a door. If it's your door, it will swing open. If it remains closed, you know what it means? The Bible says the word of God is living and what? Active. It's alive. The word says, I won't walk on this one. It's not your own. That's why it didn't open. But we learn our faith wrongly sometimes. We stand in front of the door. This door, open. I command it, open. They say, which revelation are you operating by? That say, this is your door. If you don't know what to do, you take the word of God and use it to hit the one that's your, because the word is alive. It's not a method. The word is a living thing. And it knows more than you. He knows the door to break open. He knows the one to leave shut. Are you getting my point here? Let me say to you again, your door is opening for you this week.
Amen.
That word is for some people here.
Amen.
Why it was closed for a very long time was that you have been looking wrongly. You had your hope somewhere else. But today, you said with your own mouth. Yes, you said it with your mouth today. That God is my judge. Which means he's the one that's lifting you up. Your eyes are not on anybody again. There are numbers you should delete so that you won't be tempted to call. Let's give him thanks. Just put up your hands and thank him. Remember, Jehoshaphat spoke about what was real. Now speak about the God that is real to you. Thank you, you opened my doors. Thank you, Lord, you planned my life. Yes, thank you. Begin to thank God for those doors that were closed and you were blaming people for before. I would have gone that time, but that man refused to help me. You won't say that again. Say, Lord, thank you. You are the doorkeeper of my life. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for today. You indeed are good, and you indeed are our Father, and you indeed are our God. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are blessed today, say amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody beside you,
we are blessed.
Tell the person, you are blessed. Said
you are blessed.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hold that person's hand and let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ,
This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell somebody it's your own season of multiplication and dominion. Tell somebody else it's your season. Now tell yourself, this is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. It's well with you. Cheer up, brethren. God bless you.